You're traveling through another dimension. A dimension comprised of knowledge, opinions, and entertainment. A journey on a virtual information highway into a wondrous land whose boundaries are more distant than the outer reaches of the Twitter sphere. Your next stop, The Trend Zone.
Hello and welcome to The Trend Zone. Dave here with Casey, and we are the football dudes. Are you ready, brother?
You got that right, my friend.
All right, you've just crossed over into The Trend Zone. In today's episode, we'll talk about a couple of new head coaches in the NFL, a little Survivor, and, of course, we will preview the AFC and NFC championship games this week, Casey. But before all that, can you spill out a little dank nuggage for the people?
Oh, yeah, Dave. 13 combined regular season and postseason wins. That's actually would be almost a half an ounce. So this will be the first time since 2015 that all four teams in the conference championship games have at least 13 combined regular season and postseason wins.
Wow.
That's pretty good. And all four teams in action this weekend averaged at least 29 points a game in the regular season. That's the first time in the Super Bowl era that all the conference championship teams have averaged at least 29 points. Packers
wow.
being the highest scoring team in the league this year.
Nice.
Lots of points to be had out there.
Lots of points, man. It's been the theme this year of the Nugs, Casey. Tons of points, man. But awesome, awesome going into this. And, hey, I guess that expansion of the playoffs didn't water it down too much. The cream rose to the top, right?
As always.
All right, Casey. The coaching carousel continues to spin round and round it goes.
Yeah, we dialed in a couple of seats. So the Falcons got their guy in Arthur Smith. The Jags got Urban Meyer. You might have heard a little bit about that. And the Jets got Robert Saleh. Of course, the New York Post has the headline waiting when he gets fired. Jets toss that Saleh. Four years down the road. But, Dave,
right?
You guys are no longer sitting in the angry chair, huh?
That's right. We just acquired Rams defensive coordinator and super genius, Brandon Staley, Casey. And, obviously, this dude is on a meteoric rise of epic proportions, as he's only had 4 years of coaching experience in the NFL, just 2 years as outside linebackers Bears coach with Vic Fangio. Fangio brought him over to the Broncos, where he was the outside linebackers coach there last year, and then obviously comes straight from the defensive coordinator position for the Rams, where he had led the top defense in the league. So unbelievable rise, 38 years old, but, supposedly a super wizard.
And think of all the money he's going to save on moving expenses.
That's right. He's not going anywhere. He's just a little bit down south, a little bit compared to the Rams facilities there. But, this guy, I'm impressed with him. They say, he's a great teacher, and he when you talk to him, you can tell he's nothing about but football from morning till dark. So it's gonna be exciting, man. Now moving on, Casey. He wasn't the only hire this week, as the Lions got their dude.
Yeah, Dan Campbell is a name that's been floating around there for several years, mm-hmm. part of that Saints staff, and before that with the Dolphins. This guy's been flirting with head coaching gigs for the last several years, so maybe this is finally the guy to restore the roar in D-Town, Dave, but that is yet to be seen. But the Lions feel pretty good about that.
No doubt about it, dude. Former player in the NFL, but hey, wait, they just had a former player in the NFL, didn't they? Was Matt Patricia ever a player, or was he just a big dude?
I think he just liked to eat a lot.
Yeah, Dan Campbell did play, and yeah. He is a big dude, Casey. All right, that leaves two vacancies left in this year's coaching carousel. Those are still sitting out there, some interesting jobs.
Yeah, those crap-ass Eagles trying to flirt with my guy, Kellen Moore. Jared just broke out that checkbook to keep him in Dallas as the OC. Hopefully he's just going up there to get a little intel and is not seriously considering that. And then, Dave, keep it in Texas, Houston down there. This looked like it would be a great job, but you got disgruntled Deshaun Watson back there. Will he be traded? Will he stay? Will he be gruntled? Who knows? Bieniemy went down there to or has got an interview coming with these guys, but mm-hmm. it seems like nobody really wants that job right now. So, and Cal McNair, dude, you look at a video of this guy, and he just looks like an old-timey villain, kind of like Arthur Blank. It's like, yes, I will tie her to the train tracks. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens down there. No first-round draft pick and a disgruntled quarterback. Ugh.
Yeah, the draft pick future is awful down there. It's very bleak, but I think just if you can somehow get in there and satisfy Watson with the process of acquiring the head coach, I think he's I don't think this is to the point of no return, and I think Houston would be crazy. Their fan base would revolt and be insanely pissed if they moved on Deshaun Watson after getting rid of Hopkins the previous season. I don't know where they'd be beside themselves in Texas, dude.
Dave, and you guys are no longer sitting in the angry chair, but maybe you could finally dam that river.
Yeah, you must be talking about Philip Rivers, Casey, as he announced his retirement today after 17 seasons in the NFL and one of the longest active streaks without missing a game, including a game he played on a ACL, on a torn ACL that they just did a small surgery on and kept him on his 2 feet, man. The guy was played the game with passion, Casey. The play, obviously, anybody knows that saw him play. He had the odd delivery style, but he really, dadgummit, Casey, he really brought it every week. And I think if you played for him, with him, against him, whatever it be, I think ultimately he was a guy that you could respect because he loved football that much. And it's sad to see him go, but I think it's a good move on his part to pull out right now and just cruise into the sunset. He's going to be heading into the coaching ranks in the high school area in Alabama.
And dadgummit, Dave, he wore that bolo tie better than anybody else.
He was a heck of an interview, man, when he got going, and he was excited. I'll tell you what, very, very cool guy. Hall of Fame discussion is for another show, Casey. I just want to respect the man right now for his accomplishments, and he was his career numbers are absolutely exceptional. So
yeah, dude, one field goal away in that Bills game, and who knows, we might be talking about him being the only old guy in the AFC.
No kidding, right?
Ugh.
All right, Case. It was the three strikes survivor pool. I got my first strike in week one. I've been hanging on, and then I got my first strike in the second strike in the first round of the playoffs. But this week I had Buffalo over Baltimore with the single strike left. I was thinking completely outside the box, Casey, and I somehow survived another week. Buffalo getting the win over Baltimore.
Yeah, Dave, I went into the flood again. Same old trip it was back then, bro. I went with Tampa Bay over the New Orleans Saints, and that let me survive.
Nice, yeah. Most popular pick was the Packers over the Rams. Most popular incorrect pick was the Saints over the Bucks.
And the most popular pick heading into championship weekend, the Kansas City Chiefs over those Buffalo Bills.
All right. I got to think about if you're still in it, who do you think is going to be in the Super Bowl? Because if you pick the Chiefs to win next week like all those people are, then they won't be able to pick them to win the Super Bowl, Casey.
I know. It's getting a little squirmy time because I am out of Tampa Bay. And I don't know what's going to happen, Dave. I don't know what's going to happen. I got to think about this one moving forward.
Oh, man. Ah, it's exciting. All right, Casey. Speaking of exciting, it's all on the field, man. What is happening this weekend is some exceptional, exceptional championship football games. And I got to tell you, dude, these ones have got me very, very pumped up. I'm pumped up! All right, so let's get this first one going. It's Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Green Bay Packers. Packers at home favored by 3. It's a rematch of the Week 5 game, completely dominated by Tampa Bay by the score of 38-10.
Yeah, Dave, and these Bucks and Packs, the Battle of the Bay, they're going to meet in the postseason for only the second time. Green Bay won the first one, 21-7. That was in the 97 divisional playoffs. And guess what? The Pack went on to the Super Bowl after that matchup, Dave.
Nice.
Talk about these Bucks.
All right. We'll get it started with the Buccaneers, Casey. Coming off that wild card win in against Washington. Last week they got through the divisional round, beating the Saints 30-20, and it was a very close game. I don't know, maybe 10 minutes left in the fourth, it was still tied at 20, and they took over at the end. Now they've won six straight football games. They seem to be peaking at the right time. The offense wasn't doing too bad during the regular season, though. They just seem to be hitting their stride right now. But regular season, third in points at almost 31 a game. Fewest sacks allowed with just 22. Tom Brady, of course, being just Tom Brady. Nearly 65% with over 4,600 yards, 40 touchdowns, and just 12 picks. But he's thrown it deep this year more than ever. So to still be at 65% with the number of deep throws that he has, he's got 83. That's more than any quarterback in the league of 20-plus yard throws down the field.
He didn't fall off the cliff? His arm strength is still there?
It's still there, Casey. He wasn't super high percentage, but it is a huge part of the Arians' game plan to attack downfield and stretch defenses out. So he's in his 43rd playoff game. He is 43, is that right? So he's one for each year of his life. He leads all playoff stats, needless to say. Nine Super Bowls, having won six of them. So new team, but very comfortable in this position, heading towards a possible Super Bowl berth. He has a ton of chemistry now with that group of weapons that they have assembled there. And at this point, he's really gotten better and better at balancing, using all those assets at his disposal. So let's talk about Mike Evans, though. This guy's had his first 7 years in the league, over 1,000 yards receiving. First guy in NFL history to do that, coming off a phenomenal season. Fourth in touchdowns with 13, over 1,000 receiving yards on the season, just barely. But he got there again. He had a touchdown last week against the Saints, so he's feeling pretty good about himself right now. Godwin, just four catches last week, but a very dangerous receiver. And Antonio Brown banged up last week, missed a big chunk of that game. That knee has limited him this week, but expect for him to go, but don't know exactly the level that he'll be able to perform at. And then, of course, Gronkowski. He's been Brady's buddy for a long time. He had a touchdown in the Week 6 game in this matchup here. So he seems to always raise his game in the playoffs, so you expect him to get some looks and to be prosperous when he gets those targets. And he does have 12 postseason TDs. That's tied for the second most in history. Got to expect him to cash in on another one anytime soon. Not to mention, of course, Cameron Brayton, Scotty Miller. Scotty Miller might play a bigger role in this game, depending on Antonio Brown's availability. But at running back, both backs have been productive at times this year, Casey, but they're both excelling right now. Ronald Jones had career highs in scrimmage yards and rush TDs on the season, and he had a great day in the Week 6 matchup with 113 yards and two touchdowns. Well, last week, Leonard Fournette with 100-plus yards and a TD versus the Saints. So both guys really, really performing now. Absolutely loaded with talent on this offensive side. It's going to be a tough matchup for that Green Bay Packer defense for sure. Now, Tampa Bay defensively, they're pretty awesome on that side of the football too. They've allowed the fewest yards per game at just over 80, and they have the fourth most sacks in the NFL with 48. Obviously, it's like stars on every level, but Levante David, JPP Sue, Devin White, I mean, these guys are awesome. But even with all those sacks, Casey, their weak spot was defending the pass, where they were 21st ranked on the season. And we'll see if that's a problem against Aaron Rodgers. It might be. It might be. But
does he like to throw the ball?
He tends to throw pretty well, Casey. And now we'll see. This Tampa Bay defense forced four turnovers last week against the Saints, so that resulted in 21 points for the Bucs. The Week 5 game between the Packers and the Bucks here turned on that pick six. As you recall, it was 10-0, mm-hmm. and that pick six went to the house. And next thing you know, the Tampa Bay defense dominated that from that point on. Will that be the case here? Will the Tampa Bay defense be able to make moves, create turnovers, or will Aaron Rodgers find a way to get it done? And then can Tom Brady do it to get to his 10th Super Bowl, man? Casey, talk about Green Bay. This is going to be a great game.
Oh, man, Dave, and Brady and Rodgers, up until this point this year, they had only met twice in their long careers. Now they're going to meet two times this year. It's crazy, man. So It's going to be interesting to see what happens there. And this is back-to-back NFC championships for these Packers. Aaron Rodgers last week, 296 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions. That was good for a 108.1 passer rating. That's his eighth consecutive postseason game with multiple touchdown passes that ties an NFL record. It's also going to be his fifth start in a conference championship game. But, Dave, he's only 1-3. Luckily, this time it's going to be at home. And why is he the MVP, you ask? Well, he led the NFL with 48 TD passes, became the first QB in NFL history with three seasons of 40 or more touchdown passes, dude. He also led the NFL with a 121.5 passer rating. That's the second highest single season mark in NFL history, trailing – oh, yeah, Aaron Rodgers, who is 122.5 in 2011. So all you had to do to heat this guy up was not give him a receiver and draft another quarterback, dude.
Yeah, no kidding, right? Keep drafting quarterbacks every year, Green Bay.
Keep going.
We were wrong about that, man.
Right? It worked out, dude. This highest-scoring team in the league and actually scored more than their season average last week against the Rams in that number one defense, and they actually could have had more points. This is a very lethal offense. Last week against that number one defense, dude, they scored on their first five possessions.
Wow.
Had 484 total yards, dude. So they were scoffing at that number one Rams defense. And up front, dude, their guard Jenkins did a great job on Aaron Donald. Even got the personal foul with the face mask early on in that game. And they just dominated, dude. And he got Donald out of his mind. Rodgers wasn't sacked at all last week. And that Rams defense only managed one quarterback hit on him.
Wow.
And in the last seven games, that Packers offensive line has allowed one or zero sacks in five of the games. So they're keeping number four upright, or number 12, I should say. I'm thinking about my guy Dak all the time, Dave. I can't help it.
I thought you were going back to the Favre days. Yeah, for me.
Yeah.
You're 97.
I don't even know where Favre is, but they're keeping him clean, man, and that's really helping him out. In week six, Dave, the Bucks. They sacked him four times and hit him 13 times. So they got to get that cleaned up.
Yep.
You know, LaFleur came out with a very run-heavy game plan against the Rams, and that worked out for them. Last week, the Pack ran on nine of their first 11 plays, so they saw something they liked. And that run game with Jones, Williams, and Dillon dominated the Rams, going for almost 200 yards on the ground. And each of these backs has a little different skill set, but each has the ability to take over a game, man. And the guy that does that the most, Aaron Jones, had 113 scrimmage yards last week and a touchdown. Five postseason touchdowns in just four games there. Sorry, Dave. And in three playoff games, aims for his fourth straight with a touchdown. And right now, dude, Aaron Jones is just printing money as both he and Jamal Williams are unrestricted free agents going into 2021. So I don't know that they're going to be able to keep. Definitely not both, maybe one of them, but they got the rookie A.J. Dillon making really nothing. So I'm not sure they're going to throw $14, $15 million out to keep Jones. We will see. That's a debate for later time. Devontae Adams, dude, I couldn't wait to see him and Ramsey go against each other last week. And as the story usually ends, when someone goes up against Devontae Adams is holding the crown, dude. He had nine receptions for 66 yards and a touchdown. He led the NFL with 18 receiving touchdowns. That's third most in the history of the game. Only Randy Moss and Jerry Rice have ever had more.
Wow.
Last week, it's kind of been find the other guy that's not Adams, and last week it was Lazard. He led the team with 96 receiving yards and had a touchdown, and he dropped what would have been another huge touchdown play there. Throw in some MVS and Tonyan, I should say, and add those backs in, and that just creates a lethal passing attack there. And Dave, this team just does not turn the ball over. Only 11 giveaways all season long, and in the postseason they had zero last week.
Yeah.
And you flip it over to the defense, they've been on a steady ascent as they've been marching towards the postseason. They've held last four of their last five opponents to 16 points or less. That Rams team last week, only 8 second half points. Also against the Rams, 4 sacks. Held them to only 25% on third down conversions, under 100 yards rushing, and under 150 yards passing, Dave. So who was the number one defense last week? Supposed to be the Rams, but it looks like it's the Pack. And we talked about Rashawn Gary's impact on the defense. Last week he had 7 pressures, and with Kenny Clark, they combined for 3 sacks. Za'Darius Smith is a big-time disruptor too. He led the team with 12.5 sacks. That was good for 4th in the NFL, and he can take over a game at any point. And, Dave, even though this game features 2 of the best quarterbacks to ever play, I think the run game is actually going to be a huge factor in this one.
Mm-hmm.
Last year's NFC Conference Championship game, the Pack gave up almost 300 yards rushing. And as a team, they only had 62 yards. Turns out that wasn't a formula for success. You know, and both of these teams have been great against the run defensively. So whichever team can keep that up, I think it's going to go a long way in deciding which team reps the NFC in the Super Bowl. Dave, I just can't wait to see this game, man. I am ready for them to get it on, my brother.
Dude, it is going to be fun, whether it's the Rodgers raid or the discount double check, man. We'll see if Rodgers gets it done and can strap on that championship belt, you know. It's going to be obviously amazing. And then, of course, Brady. I mean, he just does Super Bowls all the time.
Oh, yeah, dude. How sick is that? He's first year in the NFC, and he just did the championship on the verge of another Super Bowl. It's crazy.
All right, dude. The AFC's got a little matchup of their own for us, and it's pretty damn exciting, dude. It is the Buffalo Bills at the Kansas City Chiefs, dude. Chiefs at home favored by 3 in this one. Also, this game is a rematch like the other one. This is of a Week 6 game. That one was won 26-17 by Kansas City, dude.
The Bills don't like that, but they do like it when they meet the Chiefs in the postseason. This will be the 4th matchup with the Bills winning 2 of the previous 3. And the last time the Bills were in the AFC Championship, it was 93 when they beat the Kansas City Chiefs 30-13 to go to Super Bowl 28. And 2 years before that, they beat the Chiefs in the divisional round. And that also ended with the Bills Super Bowl. So, Bills Mafia.
They know how to get there.
That's right.
Right through Kansas City, right? Boom.
They're so hot right now, Dave.
All right. Well, let me talk about Bills Mafia then, Casey, and how hot this team really is coming off the wild card win where they eked by the Colts, and then last week where the big interception for a touchdown, 101-yard return, broke the back of the Ravens, broke the one of both the wings of the Ravens there. They've won 8 in a row, Casey. I think it would be 11 in a row if it wasn't for the Hail Mary. This team is super, super hot. In a lot of those games, they scored absolutely off the charts. Obviously, in the playoffs, it gets a little tighter. But their offense was ranked 2nd in the NFL, over 31 points a game. Was the best third down team at nearly 50%. And then they also featured the 3rd best passing attack, Casey. And obviously the man at the helm there, Josh Allen, 37 touchdowns, 10 interceptions on the regular season, adding 3 TDs and no picks in the 2 playoff games. He is really, really playing good football right now. And, a great game against the Colts a couple of weeks back where he was a 74%, over 300 yards, 2 touchdowns. And he also tacked on 54 rushing yards and a TD in that game. Last week, much more modest against the Ravens. Both of these Colts and Ravens, great defenses. But last week, modest numbers, still tossed a touchdown and no picks. And honestly, in these kind of games, Casey, the pick is, it's almost the more you can do to not do something wrong more important than doing something right. So no turnovers for Josh Allen, and obviously a huge part of his success this year has been Stephon Diggs. First year with the Bills, led the league in catches with 127, led the league in receiving yards with 1535, and in the 2 playoff games, Casey, 14 catches, 234 yards, and 2 touchdowns. So he's keeping it going in the playoffs. There's a nice couple of other receivers that round this group out. Casey, Cole Beasley, nice contribution in the wild card game, catchless last week. John Brown, catchless in the first game, but had 8 catches and 62 yards last week. And then rookie Gabriel Davis, nice game in the first in the wild card, but catchless last week against that tough Baltimore Ravens defense. Running the football, Casey, is going to be the tandem of Singletary and T.J. Yeldon, and that little combination, ran for just 29 yards last week versus the Ravens. Zach Moss on IR, he has the high ankle sprain. He just had surgery. He is out. And the 29 yards for the runners last week, not good, in case you didn't notice, folks. And Josh Allen tacked on 3 additional yards on 7 carries. So not a very good run output last week. In fact, in the two playoff games combined, the running backs have just 71 yards. All of the running backs for the Bills in 2 games have 71 rushing yards, and tack onto that an additional 61 receiving yards for the running backs. And they're just not getting a heck of a lot productivity out of that group. Here's the other thing, though, Casey. Baltimore's run game was ranked just 20th, so it's not like they've been riding the run game and it's just come stalling now. But it is very important to get that ground game going. The Bills are 10-0, actually, when they get just 95 rushing yards in a game this season.
Wow.
So if they can get it up there, they can really it's a huge advantage for this football team. Now, it's always a good advantage to be balanced and to have some semblance of a run game. But stopping the run, not a strong point for the Kansas City defense, so that's a reason to want to get it going this week. And also, Buffalo's going to want to try. I mean, if you're going to beat the Chiefs, you have to kind of win time of possession. You have to possess the football. You have to win the turnover battle. Keep the Chiefs' offense on the bench there. And winning the turnover battle, well, first of all, it starts with not turning it over. Second of all, it goes to the Buffalo defense getting turnovers. They were tied for 3rd in the league with 26 turnovers on the season, and that's huge for them because basically this is an average defense in most of the statistical categories. They are going to be challenged by this potent Kansas City offense, which we assume that Mahomes is playing at this point in the week, Casey. Buffalo, offensively, they've been scoring a ton of points, but you do not want to get into a shootout with the Chiefs. The Chiefs, you know, they never seem to be out of a game with Mahomes at quarterback. So Buffalo's going to have to get the lead and somehow figure out how to finish this football game off. And the defense has just got to get some timely stops somewhere along the way and maybe a turnover, and that those are kind of the ingredients to getting this win. Talk about these Kansas City Chiefs, Casey.
Yeah, dude, the Chiefs are the first team to host 3 consecutive championship games since 2002 to 2004 when the Philadelphia Eagles did that. Guess what? Big Red was the coach of those Eagles teams, dude.
Was he Big Green back then?
Yeah, he was Big Red and Green like a big Christmas tree, Dave. This is his 8th conference championship as a head coach. And you talked about Patrick Mahomes last week, 21-30, 255, passing touchdown, no interception. That was good for 106.9 passer rating, and he had a rushing touchdown. And speaking of rushing touchdown, he's had at least 1 pass and 1 rushing touchdown in 3 consecutive postseason games. That ties him with Steve Young for the longest streak in NFL history. Also, with that 106.6 postseason and 108.7, he's the NFL's career leader in regular season and postseason passer rating.
Oh, he's pretty good.
And just for it's and giggles, with the start on Sunday, Mahomes can be the 12th quarterback since the merger in 1970 to start 3 consecutive conference championship games and the first to do it before his 26th birthday. So it's good to be Patrick there. And he's also the first quarterback since 1950 to go 24-1 over a 25-game stretch. So, Dave, really, anything is possible. Speaking of Henny, dude, if he does have to play, 2 of the biggest plays he did last week were the 3rd and 14, where he scrambled for about 13.5 yards, his longest rush since 2013, and his 4th and inches throw to Tyreek Hill to seal that deal last week. Too bad the Brownies didn't watch the film from the Miami game where the Chiefs used that same play to convert a 4th down. That didn't come up, and they won that game too. But everybody besides all of Buffalo and the Henny family hopes they don't see Chad play on Sunday. And, Mahomes has been practicing this week light, but we all expect to see him play. And, dude, last week, Tyreek Hill had 110 yards. He had 15 receiving touchdowns in the season. We know that the dude is uncoverable. Obviously had the fourth down to convert the game winner. But Travis Kelce, bro, he had 8 catches for 109 and a touchdown. That's his 9th straight game with at least 7 catches, dude.
Wow.
You know it's coming. You still can't cover him.
Yeah.
He was second among all players, not just tight ends, receivers, too, with 1,416 receiving yards. Yeah. That's the most by tight end in NFL history. Also, 103 receptions in 2018, 105 in 19. Dude, he's the first player, first tight end in NFL history with multiple seasons of over 100 receptions. The guy is just a beast, man. Patrick Mahomes is BFF. So you expect him to be a huge part of the game plan moving forward. Part of the game plan last week, Clyde Edwards-Helaire was not in it. He had that high ankle sprain in week 15. He was pretty close last week, but he didn't get there. On Wednesday, he did practice. He was limited. So hopefully that's a good sign that the rookie's going to be available on Sunday. If not, though, it's going to be Darrell Williams again, who had to wait until the divisional round of the playoffs to get it going. But he was there when the Chiefs needed him most. 94 scrimmage yards on 17 touches. But he had a huge fourth down conversion in the third quarter that kept the Chiefs drive going that turned into the Chiefs' only points of the second half, dude.
Mm-hmm.
And this team had been scoring 29 points a game, but over the last three games, just over 20 points. So they're not scoring as many points as they needed. Were they getting tired down the stretch? They've had a lot of football the last 3 years. I don't know. We'll find out on Sunday. Now you flip it over to the defense, dude. Dirty Dan Sorensen. He made that huge play, the fumble on Higgins. And this guy's – he made a handful of big plays in the playoff run to the Super Bowl last year. So look for him to make his presence felt on Sunday as well. And you know who also made their presence felt last week was the Honey Badger, dude. According to Pro Football Focus, the Honey Badger didn't allow a single positive yard in his 40 coverage snaps last week.
Dude, he was all over the place, wasn't he?
Yeah, dude, he was.
Golly, his instincts are off the charts.
Yeah, the Browns actually lost yards when he was targeted. 6 targets yielded a minus 5 yards in coverage, man. Not to throw my Cowboys out there, but this guy wasn't a scheme fit for the Cowboys, too. How's that scheme work for you there?
Change your scheme, damn it.
Yeah, right. He also got his first postseason interception last week, and that was his 7th on the year. You know, Dave, this defense isn't great. It does have some great players, but they just make timely big plays. Like last week when they shut the Browns down in the fourth quarter when their lead shrank to only 5. Spags and Co. just find a way to get it done, dude. And I mentioned the scoring is down for these Chiefs. They had to win a lot of close games this season.
Yes.
Their last 8 wins have only come by 6 points or less. That might be a good thing, but it might not be. They were blowing teams out last year. This year, they're finding ways to win close games. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens on Sunday. Like you mentioned, dude, the Bills, one of the hottest teams coming in. That defense that the Bills had last week was astronomical.
It was outstanding.
Chiefs just barely getting by. But no one looks about how you won, just that you did win. So, Dave, another super intriguing matchup. Oh, it's just a berth in the Super Bowl on the line. No big deal, bro.
No big deal, bro. And you mentioned Kelce, the BFF but of Mahomes, Casey. Don't tell that to Jake from State Farm, okay? Because, you know, he's pretty close with Pat Mahomes, too. Wouldn't this be interesting, Casey, for State Farm if the – Packers go and the Chiefs go to the Super Bowl. It's the State Farm, Jake from State Farm Bowl.
Oh, dude, State Farm would just be like losing their money.
We know somebody that's going to get a Super Bowl spot, right?
Oh, you got that right, my friend.
All right, folks, that is going to do it. So many different ways to check out the football dudes. Thanks for listening to this episode of The Trend Zone. You can find The Trend Zone available for subscription on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Stitcher, Blueberry Podcasting, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, well, you're out there consuming that sweet, sweet football dudes content. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Instagram and Facebook, and follow us on Twitter at Football Dudes LA.
Or just go to footballdudes.com. It's all there for you. That is going to do it for this episode of The Trend Zone. Enjoy the AFC and NFC championship games out there, NFL fans. For Casey, I am Dave. We're the Football Dudes, and we are out of here.